Everybody,
we're back.
We're back once again. It's a Little Pocket Awareness, the podcast. It's Marcus and Chris. Chris, go ahead and give the Twitter name. Get some more people to follow you here.
Yeah, I could use a little help on Twitter, huh? At King Manelos. I could say it like 1,000 freaking times, and they still wouldn't be able to find me, man.
King Manelos. You might have to
break it down.
M-E-N-A-L-O-S.
See, you didn't even get it right.
I didn't. Damn.
M-E-N-E.
M-E-N-E.
L-A-O-S.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
It's complicated. I should have known. It's
too Greek, man.
I know.
It's too Greek.
It is a little Greek. Whatever. I'll start writing something, and I'll just throw NFL at the end of it like you. Throw it out there. Throw it out there. What is it?
Maybe you should change the show to Marcus and Manelos.
That would mess people up even more. Hit them with your handle.
All right. At the Mark John NFL.
Mark John. Like you, that can't John. Be any easier for them.
Yeah, it's
yours is easy. Mine's complicated.
Yeah.
It's just a nice little.
We'll work it out, man.
We'll figure it out.
We're gonna get you up. We're gonna get you up there, man.
We'll figure it out.
So we had divisional round. Wasn't too exciting.
It beat our predictions out of the water. Gosh, it did. We took a thrashing, man.
Yeah, we did. We took a bad thrashing. But, I mean, the Chargers didn't show up, so we'll talk about that later.
No.
It wasn't that eventful, though.
Tom Terrific showed up, though.
Yeah, but did he, though? We'll talk about that.
For what he needed to do, he did.
We'll talk about that, too.
We didn't get anything close, man.
We didn't get anything right.
We were not close to anything.
It was just so uneventful. It was like usually division around, like whether you had the miracle in Minnesota, whatever they called it, or.
What? I'd rather have a weekend like this than some fluke play like they had in Minnesota last year.
That's exciting.
No, I don't want that.
The game was close.
I don't want flukes. I want it to play out like it does. And I'm sorry, I can only read half the field. Nick Foles should never have been in the game like they were. But that had nothing to do with him, and that had all to do with that defense. But we'll get into it. We'll break it all down. We'll set them up for next week.
Yeah, make sure that you are all hit that Spotify button and that's download and get it going that way. Also, hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, on the iTunes. Let's see some more reviews.
Yes.
Yes. Get a little critical with us, people. Let's see what you got over there.
Tell us we suck. We'll take that, too. Tell us we suck. That means at least we know you listened.
Exactly. You hate us, but you listen to us.
You listen. Exactly. All right, so let's get into it. First game of the weekend was Colts versus Chiefs, which we didn't pick because we were scared.
What a letdown.
Yeah, that was a bad game.
I was so disappointed. But you know what I was not disappointed about?
What?
That defensive line in Kansas City.
Yeah, we talked about it.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. They really showed up.
They had a good game plan. I think because Colts receivers are not very good. T.Y. Hilton is hurt. So they came up and they were going to play straight man-to-man and they couldn't get any separation and Luck had nowhere to go. I did think something that was very interesting about that game. We all talked about Luck's arm for all year, right?
Yeah, it showed back
sometimes
up.
Sometimes it looked great.
It showed
sometimes
back up.
And
you could see it in his delivery.
The cold weather.
You could see it in the way that he released the ball. It just looked awful.
Yeah. Cold weather and all that. Chris Sims on Sims the Left Go podcast was talking about how he went to go watch Mahomes and Luck on the field warming up because he was at the game. He was doing a little pregame or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching Luck and he just saw the ball. He said, man, that's kind of floating. It's kind of floating in the air.
It did float.
Right. And then he saw Mahomes. Mahomes just driving it like it was nothing. It was just going through the wind.
Well, I'll tell you what. The wind. I was watching some of Mahomes when he was throwing and he was squeezing the ball. And you could tell by the way it was coming out. There were a lot of wobbly balls thrown around out there. Yeah. Very inaccurate. he was squeezing the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know that Mahomes has that much experience playing in conditions like that.
He doesn't, but he has the arm to play in conditions
he
like
does,
that.
He does.
And the hand size.
But you could see, even though he's got the intangibles for it,
yeah,
he was squeezing the hell out of the football because that thing was coming out wobbly as hell,
mm-hmm.
and he missed a lot of his spots with the football. There were a lot of plays being made by receivers to get their full range of motion.
Yeah, that's true.
To make some catches there. The temperature and the cold and the snow, it really affected both quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, because, I mean, he really didn't play that well. I mean, his YPA was only 6.8, which is very low for him all year. They really depended on Damian Williams a lot. He had 129 yards rushing. His rating
Did
was
he
only
really?
Yeah, it was.
I
weird.
Didn't even realize.
I didn't realize
that
watching the game.
No, watching the game, you don't even see that.
I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that way. And Mahomes, he only had an 85 rating that game. He really didn't play that well.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He missed a lot of throws. But I'll tell you what, the one thing that we got right, and I won't say we, I'll say you.
Yeah,
Kelce in the middle of the field, man.
I told you, man.
He killed it in the middle of the field.
He was eating.
That's he killed it.
You
in the
can't
middle
play
field.
Cover two against
no.
a tight end like that.
No.
So I mean, because yeah, he had 7 catches, 108 yards. He was killing it in the middle of the field.
Tariq Hill was nothing.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything.
He didn't show up. Well, and I think
yeah,
I think you can credit.
Game. Yeah, he had
yeah.
that run.
Oh yeah, the end around. Man, you give a guy like that much room.
Yeah.
You get to full speed like that. You don't want to tackle a guy moving that fast in that cold of weather.
No, you do
You
not.
Could see it in the last 5 yards. He got hit like 3 times, and nobody wanted to put anything into him. He just bulldozed his way into the end zone.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hill was all right. 8 catches, 72 yards. So, he was okay. I think Watkins was the other X factor, though. I think he might be X factor.
He had one. He had that one catch.
He said he had 6
he had that
catches,
one
62
catch.
Yards, though.
Yeah, but no, one of them was half of it. One of them was half of it. He came. It was a little dig route.
Yeah.
And he caught it in the middle of the field, and I don't know why he was that wide open. But the yards after catch, who was it? I think it was Kelce. He had like 3 guys. Watkins had 3 guys chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Kelce that had his man on the other side of the field, and he blocked him into the other 3 guys and gave Sammy another 15 yards down the sideline.
I remember that play, yeah.
So I don't know. You look at the stats, but that's deceiving.
Yeah.
That's a little
his
deceiving.
His arm was 34. He didn't have a catch for 34.
That's the play right
he
there.
He is a factor. Because he is a legit number 2 receiver.
I would agree.
He's
it would be interested. It would be really interesting to see.
So because you know what Belichick's going to do, right? I mean, we could already kind of talk about it. Anyways, we know what he's going to do. He's going to try to take away Kelce and Hill this time. Because the first time he decided he was just going to take away Kelce.
That time they had Hunt too. So it was like pick your poison. You're going to take away Hunt and Kelce, or are you going to take away Hill and Kelce? You're right. Hill and Kelce are going to be non-factors in this next game.
And
it's going to be up to the running game, and it's going to be up to Sammy Watkins.
Yep. But I think Sammy Watkins could step up and make the plays, though. I think he's already been a legit like top receiver on a team. I think he's had a 1,000-yard season. He can step up and make the plays if Mahomes has the time, he can get open and he can do all those things. Watkins is good to make some plays.
We'll preview that in a minute.
Okay.
Because I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay.
Because I've already got a very difficult time dealing with how the Chargers played in New England. I got a really hard time with that, Marcus. It's still really messing with me. I'm having a very difficult time with that.
So I mean, the Chiefs played good defense at home, right?
Yes, they did. Hold up. That defensive line played good defense at home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give credit to the back end because Andrew Luck couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but
he didn't have the time to find anybody.
But that's because of the back end, too. I'll
agree that he was sailing the ball and that everything wasn't there. But at the same time, at the same exact time, he didn't have any time to look down the field. And I think it was more so the execution of the offensive line against that defensive front, because when they put it together, they moved. When they put it together, they moved, and they actually they put it together in the second half. Of course, they were chasing big.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how the game would have went if they didn't miss? They missed that field goal.
Oh, Vinatieri, he turned into one of those regular kickers. He turned into one of those regular kickers. I cannot believe that Vinatieri missed the two kicks that he missed.
He's old, man.
I get that he's old, but he's Adam Vinatieri.
He's got to let it go. I mean, Morten Andersen didn't last as long. Morten Andersen got to like 42. He was like, I'm out.
Yeah, well, shoot. That was he really messed them up, man.
He's like, I'm out, man. I'm 42. I'm out.
But he's not going to let it go. Vinatieri's coming back next season because of both of those misses. Those are going to be the sole reason he comes back next year. You know he made 70 in a row before he missed that extra point?
That's crazy.
He made 70 extra points before he missed that one.
It's terrible, man. It's just a bad day all around for the Colts. The Colts, they just I don't think they really showed up either. They didn't show up.
No, I can't believe that offensive line got beat as bad as they did. I really can't. I'm struggling with that in the worst way.
I mean, Justin Houston and D4, they're
D Ford ripped them to pieces. Jones knocked down every throw.
Yeah.
He knocked down every throw that Luck had.
Yeah, that D-line, that dominated that game. They had a really good game.
If they, do you think they can do that against New England?
I think they can get pressure on Tom. I really do. I really do think they can get pressure on Tom. And, I mean, they won't do what the Chargers did. I mean, I know that.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference.
The difference, what?
Here's the difference. Tom will check it down to a running back.
Really quick. I know that. But also, I think the Patriots' offensive line is very underrated, which we're skipping. We're skipping
this game.
This is Chiefs Colts. I guess this game wasn't that exciting. It was a letdown.
Marcus, you and I hyped this game so big. This was the game of the weekend. This was the game of the weekend.
It was just a game.
It
was a game where a team that, you know, and I kind of realized. Because I picked the Chiefs on Facebook right before the game started. And the reason why I did is because I saw a tweet on Saturday that showed how the Colts had the easiest schedule in all of the NFL. And I started to think, and they just played the Texans the week before, so they played the Texans twice already. They're about to go play a really good team. Are these guys they're just not good. Kind of how I felt about the Seahawks. Got a really good quarterback.
Oh, now you're gonna dog the Seahawks. You let me dog them all season long, and you wanted to be the one that talked to Seahawks. No, I don't know, Chris. I said it last week, though, Chris.
I don't think the Seahawks should have even been there.
Marcus, why are you stealing my thunder right now?
I'm not stealing your thunder, but I think the Colts shouldn't even been in the division around. They just have Andrew Luck. That's what I think it is.
You don't think that defense was legitimate?
I think against the teams they played against, they were. But obviously we saw, Chris, I mean, they didn't stop the Chiefs. Chiefs still put up 31. I mean, I know Mahomes didn't throw for 500 yards, but he didn't have to. They just ran the ball.
I don't know. I couldn't get a pulse for that game. And I don't think that you can blame the defense. I think the blame goes to the offensive line for the Colts. And it threw their game completely out of whack. And they started chasing right away. And it just... anything that they wanted to actually do throughout the game,
yeah,
they had to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
I think their game plan got blown up immediately. Immediately. I don't think they got to do anything that they wanted to do in that entire football game.
It was just boring, man. I was disappointed in the game. The game was just boring.
You know whose fault it is? It's Vinatieri's fault.
You think it's Vinatieri's fault?
If he makes that field goal before halftime, they get the ball back. They're only down a touchdown.
All I gotta say is Mahomes, you play pretty good this week, but pretty good ain't gonna cut it this week.
I'll tell you what though. What? We saw something that was pretty impressive.
What was that?
That little shortstop throw that he threw to Kelce.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Dude's crazy. I don't know, man.
And you know what? He put it in the right spot too. Like I keep waiting for the decision making to fall apart and for him to really just let. Yeah, I can make any throw that I want to throw, and it turns into interceptions, and it's not happening. And then he makes a throw like that where it's like, there is zero fundamentals behind that throw.
Nope.
That is all pure athletic, God-given ability where he's making this throw. And you know what? I saw all the throws. I saw all the replays from behind Mahomes when he's making that throw. I want to see the replay that's got Kelce's angle on it. Because that man was behind a guard. And the guard was blocking a defensive tackle. And all of a sudden, if you're Kelce and you're on that out route,
yeah,
That ball appears out of nowhere and is being thrown to a spot where you're not close to. So if you watch Kelsey in the slow-mo, you see him running the route. And then all of a sudden, I'm pretty sure his eyes got real big and he realized that the football is coming in his direction and it's supposed to go to him.
Yeah.
But he's got to put a little extra into his route. And he's really got to throw his hands out there to pull this in.
Yeah.
So it's a phenomenal throw by Mahomes.
Yeah.
But it's an even better play by Kelsey because this is a ball that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's got about 5-6 yards that he's got to cover before he can even stick his hands out. And he's at his full range. That was full extension to catch that pass. It was gorgeous on both sides of it.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away.
I think a lot of those guys, they get it. I think because if you watch Kelsey, like even a lot of the catches he had in the middle of the field, like he wasn't open originally.
No.
And then like he knows what to do. He knows, okay, I'm not open. Let me go find a spot because I know if I find a spot, Mahomes is going to find me and I'm going to get the ball. So he probably was ready, even though.
Oh, no, he was. But that, you know what that was, what that did for me was it reinforced a lot of what they practice.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, receivers in their drills and tight ends in their drills, they got their back to the ball and they throw it through the jug machine and the ball is in air and then they go, okay, turn, find it, catch it.
Yeah.
That's all that was. It was that drill.
Yeah.
It was that drill. And it's refreshing to see something that they practice on the regular and they actually have it play out in the football game. Because I'll tell you what, they don't practice. Mahomes doesn't practice that throw. Not one time.
Well, he doesn't.
Not a single time.
No, he doesn't.
That is not what he practices, even in the slightest. So it was literally because of the fundamentals that they do in practice that finally showed up in a game. And that's the kind of stuff that really just sends me into a tizzy. It really fires me up. That's the stuff that I really enjoy.
All right. So let's go to the next game, which was... I definitely predicted this game wrong. Sean McVay shocked me a little bit with his game plan. I ain't gonna lie. What I like though about this game
is that he played playoff football.
Yeah, not that he just played playoff football. I think what happened with the Rams. So you know we're talking about the Cowboys Rams 30-22. Game was ended a lot closer than it actually was. The game was not that close, to be honest. I think the Cowboys defense is good enough to keep it a little closer and like keep some field goals. Mm-hmm. They're still good enough to do that, but they're still getting bullied. They're getting bullied up.
Absolutely.
Bullied up another
field. Absolutely.
Right. Now, what I like about Sean McVay, this is really what I'm talking about. I really like about his adjustment because week 13, all right, the Lions come out and they do not play the run. They play all play action, right? Goff doesn't play well. They struggle on offense a little bit. The game's closer than it should be because they're playing the Lions, right? And they ended up, you know, beating them by 14 because it's the Lions and they're just so much better than them, right? So that's on tape, right? So guess who duplicates the tape? The Bears, right? The Bears come out and duplicate the tape. Oh, it's not as easy because they're more and more talented defense, but they duplicate the same game plan, right? They struggle. Goff throws 4 interceptions. It's just bad. They look
was
bad.
It really 4 against
the
Bears?
Yeah, it was 4, yeah. Bad national TV, right? Because he threw a terrible one against the Lions, too. Because the Lions were straight up. They knew they were ready for them, right, on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So the next week he goes and plays the Eagles. And the Eagles, they duplicate the same game plan. Do the same thing. They got the D-line for it so they can shut down Gurley. You know, force Goff to, you know, read the field.
He's got to take over the game.
You got to take over the game, and of course, he couldn't do it. And they lose again. So what does he do the last 2 weeks of the NFL season, right? He starts running the ball on people, right?
Mm-hmm.
People probably start to duplicate that. He's like, okay, fine. You guys are not going to run. I'm just going to run it on you.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took CeeDee Anderson the last couple weeks. He's running down the throat, running down the throat. Then he goes to this playoff game, and he did the same thing. He just, okay, you guys are going to play back. I'm going to run it instead of do what I usually do in the first half, which is play action all first half. And then hit you with the run game in the second, once you're trying to start to play the pass. Right. And then now He's like, I'm going to set it up. I'm just going to, you guys are just playing the play action anyways. You got to try to beat, have Goff beat us. I'm just going to punch it down your throat. Bam. Bam. Run after run after run after run. And because the way they beat the Cowboys, I really feel like if they.
250 yards, Marcus.
I know, but it was like a slow beat down. It's like they took some breaks with it, and they came back and beat him up again. And they took a break and beat him up again. Because Goff didn't play that well.
No, he didn't. And I'll tell you what. When it comes to Goff, they got to him.
Yeah.
They got to him. And he's a guy that if you get him off platform, if you get him off his spot,
yeah,
and he doesn't have the ability to step into his throw, he's very inaccurate, and you can take advantage of some bad mistakes and that he will make.
He's a straight mechanics based player.
His yes.
mechanics are off yes. at all. He's,
yes.
He's not like Mahomes where Mahomes can
right.
His mechanics are messed up. Or even like Aaron Rodgers, his mechanics yeah. are messed up, he can still get it there. Like God.
Both God. Feet off the ground yeah. in the middle of a throw. Like there's some hip twist and both feet are off the ground and little. Yeah.
No, Goff's not doing that. Goff no. has to be
yeah.
wide.
But I'll tell you base, what. You know. But I'll tell you what. The way that the game planned it,
yeah.
when he could step into his throw, man, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it always
those
is
were pretty.
It
gross.
Always is with him. I mean, it's been like that since college. I always thought he was a good player in college too, but he really didn't do too much against the.
No, and Cowboys. You know what? I'm glad that McVay took that out of his hands.
It's true.
That was the right way to do it. He's not one of those guys where it's like, here you go, it's up to you, go. Yeah. He's not one of those guys.
See. You know, a big person they really miss is Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp.
Oh, I could not agree with you more.
This whole offense.
I could not agree with you more.
He changed the whole offense.
But I like how they substituted him.
But
do you know where they went with that substitute?
What?
Higbee.
Yeah.
They started to incorporate the tight end a little bit more, and he had some big chunks in this game.
Yeah.
He had some big chunks in this game. So I like how McVay can find that replacement there. It wasn't the same. I'll agree with you. It's not the same. Cooper Kupp is him in that offense. It takes them to a whole nother level. Takes them to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have drafted the guy in fantasy football late in the draft for a reason in all three of my leagues.
I did too, Chris.
But, I did too. Him tearing his ACL kind of screwed my fantasy football season over big time.
We don't want to talk about that because, yes, it did. It did for me too. But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they really miss Cooper Kupp. Even just like the way that he used him.
Oh, completely.
And how he used to block a
lot. I completely agree.
He would fake the blocks, and he would go for a route.
They didn't run that.
He'd be open for a touchdown.
They didn't run that jet sweep motion as much when Kupp was around.
No.
And it kills me. I can't stand watching that jet sweep formation because they never give the ball to the jet sweep, ever.
I know.
Ever. I don't know how this is still holding a defensive end because they never give him the ball. Not never.
They used to, though. They did at the beginning of the year.
There were three games after Kupp went down when it was like, we'll give it to him 2-3 times a game. But after that, the guy running the jet sweep motion hasn't touched the football on the jet sweep motion for the last 6 weeks.
Because that's how they got their ass kicked by the Bears, because the Bears didn't go with the jet motion.
No. They haven't given them the ball.
So they're like,
it
okay.
It kills me. And I loved how you pointed out, too. They play action just to stick the ball out there.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, we're going to play action. You didn't see this coming? Are you sure? Because, I mean, we've done this, like, a lot. Like, I'm pretty sure that Goff just sticks the ball out there and is like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, right? Like, I've been doing it all season long.
Yeah.
It might not even be a play action, and Goff's going to stick the ball out there anyway.
I know. I mean, that's their whole game is, like, the whole play action pass.
I do it, too, though. I love play action football.
I do.
That's one of my – that is one of my most favorite things ever. It's always been since when I played – when I was playing quarterback, I did everything that was possible, even when I handed the ball off.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to pull somebody with me. I want my fake to look so good that just give me a defensive end. Because then it's like, you don't account for me anyway. So it's always 11 on 10 in the running game. So if I get one guy, give me one guy. Now it's 10 on 10. So my guys just got to be one person. My running back's got to be one person instead of two. That was always my goal. As a quarterback, And that was when I was handing the ball off.
Yeah.
So when you try to do that and then you turn it into play action and somehow Goff's not even doing that, man. He's just like, McVay's like, just stick the ball out. Just make them. I mean, you're not going to give it to the guy. Clearly. I can only tell you to stick the ball out there so many times.
All right. Let's just talk about these Cowboys.
What do you want to talk about, man?
I just
they are who we thought they were. They're just a defense and that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we talked about this from when we previewed the Cowboys. You and I felt the same way about Dak, and it took me all of last year to get you back to this position.
Did Dak really play that bad? I don't know if he played bad.
Why's it got to be, did he play that bad? He's not that good in the first place.
I think he played all right. I think he played good enough that if they were able to run the ball, they could have won. But they couldn't run the ball.
You just can't depend on him to go win the game himself. That's the thing. And
that's the problem.
And I said it last week. Zeke had to have a magical game. He had to have it. He needed 200 plus yards for the Cowboys to win this game. He had to have it.
And he had 20 for 47. See my thing is too, is like they were so stubborn too. Like they would keep running the ball against eight man boxes on first down. They still think
they have the offensive line that they had from two seasons ago,
which is ridiculous. Travis Frederick is not there.
Right,
he's hurt.
Yes, but they still think that they're that magical offensive line.
Zach Martin's hurt too.
But they have to be. They have to play, but that's who they have to be. They have to be that. He's got to get 20 carries.
Do they though?
They do.
I think they have Zeke, right? So Zeke is always a decoy.
Dak is not capable of having Zeke be a decoy.
Yes, he can. If they have a good offensive coordinator, their coordinator is terrible. I really think if with having Zeke and using Zeke, I think they should have had a better game plan. I don't know. I feel like they were sitting on their short stuff and they didn't do any double moves all game. Like Amari Cooper runs the best sluggo in the NFL, and you guys don't run a sluggo with Marcus Peters, who bites on everything. Like it was just a lot of things that are bothering me in that game. Like he's the easiest guy to get on a double move in the whole NFL. Like he's gonna bite. Like has he ever not bit? I don't understand. What are we doing here? Just run a slow. There were so many chances to just, especially after he had the touchdown on the first slant. Like it's sluggo time at that point.
Well, here's my thing. We talked about it when they went into the huddle, and Amari Cooper complained about the play call, and then they switched it up on the field and they had success out of it. You're going to tell me that all of a sudden they can't come up with their own stuff in the middle of the game? Now they can't? Now it's like, oh, we're in the playoffs. We should really listen to what coach is calling every time. Why can you make a change in the middle of a game before and you're in a situation where exactly what you're talking about, and then they can't make that change and they can't make that adjustment in the game? Dak's not capable of it. I'm almost convinced that not only was that so much Amari, somebody else said something in that huddle too.
Because we don't know. They could have put in the QB room, and he's like, "Don't do that again."
What's he gonna do? Bench him?
I don't know.
I do not care what you're talking about. You can come in the next week and say, "Don't do that again," and I'm gonna go, "Okay, what are you gonna do? Pull me out of the game?" Who are you going to put in?
I don't know. Dak's a good soldier.
Can you even
name
who the backup is for the Cowboys?
He's a good soldier.
Can you name who the backup for the Cowboys is?
He's not Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger would say that. Dak would be okay, Scott. Okay, oh, I won't do it again.
And that's why their asses are at home.
that's why
they're at home.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't understand how, and you're exactly right, because Peters is ultra aggressive. This is what I'm going to go with. Peters and Tlaib were so far in Amari Cooper's head that he couldn't even think twice about making a change in the huddle.
True.
Because he's the one that came in screaming about it in the last time, and then Dak all of a sudden decided, yeah, you're right, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Nobody came in the huddle screaming this time, because all that he could think about was Tlaib and Peters.
Yeah, Peters, he's done well against before. I'm not gonna say Peters shuts him down. I'm not gonna say that because he had a good game couple times, more than a couple times against Peters at home against the Chiefs. So I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go out of the way to say that. But Tlaib, he's never had a good game against Tlaib. Never. Ever. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Doesn't matter where it's at. Doesn't matter if it's in Denver or if it's Oakland. It don't matter. He's never had a good game against those guys, right? He just hasn't. And I know Tlaib, because what happened is that they had that first touchdown. It was on LaMarcus Joyner. It wasn't on Tlaib or Peters, right? And that never happened again. Mm-mm. That was never happened. Mm-mm. And I think Peters just gets in his head. I think Peters just talks, probably especially since he left Oakland. Peters is from Oakland. I'm sure there was some stuff. He probably even brought Marshawn told him.
There's some certain guys that won't get mic'd up. There's some certain guys that won't get mic'd up during a game. And
I really feel like that he's probably bringing up stuff about Marshawn that Marshawn was telling him. Like, really get in his head. Like, yes, that's why Marshawn told me you was a bitch. You know, you know, stuff like that. You know? Like, just all in his head. Because, yeah, he was gone after that. After that first touchdown. He's basically...
Which you thought that he would have built off of. Especially when he got that first touchdown. I thought he was going to build off of that.
That's why I'm like, okay, these Cowboys getting to play after that first drive. I'm like, okay, maybe my addiction is going to be right. I'm like, I knew I was like at the first drive. I'm like, I knew it. This is going to happen. It's going to be good. And it just didn't happen.
But if anything for me, the Cowboys just became the Seattle Seahawks. You ain't going to beat them in Dallas, but you get them on the road and it's just not the same team.
I don't know. Dallas might be good next year, man. They might be.
Well, if their offensive line's healthy, that's a different story. Yeah, but you still got the same guy throwing the ball.
I think he's okay.
And they're really going to have – they got to get something on the other side of Amari Cooper, or they better get themselves a tight end in the middle of the field.
He's a 15 to 20 guy, I think Prescott is, right? I think he's a 15 to 20.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough.
It is, though. I think it is. With that defense and that running game, and I think he's clutch. He's 15. He's a 15 to 20 guy. I think he – which because what happens with 15 to 20 guys, that sometimes they have a top 10 season. So I think he has a chance to have a good season that is like better than actually he is supposed to play on a regular, that maybe he could take the Cowboys to another level with just one time. It's not going to happen more than once. It's not going to be consistent, but he could have that one good season. Mm-hmm. That's what those mid-tier guys do. They have those one good seasons, and then we'll see. We'll see with Dak, though. We'll see if he gets better with Amari, or because they're not firing Linehan. Yeah, they're in trouble.
You can't hit me with that one good season and then they still got Linehan. Oh, they're in trouble. You can't do that to me. You can't do that to me.
Sorry, man. You can't do that to me. It's true. All right, so let's get into our most disappointing game of the weekend, which is the Chargers versus Patriots.
Can I tell you what? In the AFC, those teams that we thought were going to do something, it came down to the offensive line play.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened in the offensive front. Actually, I do know what happened. Bill Belichick happened.
Yeah.
He masterminded yet again, and he proved yet again that the reason that team is successful is because of his genius scheming.
I know. Because it was funny. Like, I guess they were like one of the least blitzing teams all year, and all they did was blitz him.
They just came. They came for him.
Everywhere.
I don't know what they saw on film where that offensive line, they couldn't. They're getting blitz, 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 blitz. And then in the second half, it was just a four-man rush. And they couldn't pick up a defensive tackle in the middle of the formation. Rivers called, I will never forget it, in the second half. Rivers calls, I don't know what he called. I saw the aftermath of it all.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the replay. I'm like, why is Rivers freaking out? And the shot was from right over the top. And you see everybody in the offensive line shift to the right. So he called an offensive line protection change at the line of scrimmage where everybody's just supposed to slide to the right.
Yeah.
And everybody slides to the right except for the center. The center goes to the double team on the left, and the guard, I'm sorry, the tackle shoots the gap right in Rivers' face. And Rivers had to throw it away. And you watch Rivers right after the play, and he's just arms out that big what gesture.
Yeah.
But those aren't what words coming out of his mouth. Those are words that his nine children will not get to learn for a few more years. And yeah, that offensive line was a mess. They were an absolute mess. Phillip Rivers, I've never seen him on the ground more than in that game.
They were trying to get him to move because, you know, Phillip can't move. So that was their plan. I don't know what the Chargers' defensive plan was. The Chargers' defensive plan was we're going to hang back and chill and let Tom Brady pick us apart. That's what I don't know what that was. What was that game plan? What was that?
I think what we discussed, you know, after it happened was they came in with the same game plan that they played against the Ravens. And you can't play a zone defense against Tom Terrific. And that's who showed up. It was Tom Terrific. And it was James White getting 14 receptions out of the backfield, tying his amount of receptions that he had in the 15, Super Bowl. 15, he got to 15?
Yes, 15.
He got one more at the end then. Because when I saw the statistic, he was still one behind Darren Sproles' record of 15 catches. He had 17 targets? Jeez. And he caught 15. Man.
So I'm saying, because he only threw the ball to two people. He threw the ball
Edelman.
To Edelman and yeah. White. They had
and Edelman had like
30 of his 44 passes, 30 of the targets went to those two.
I'll tell you what though, anytime Tom threw it to Edelman, like anywhere near him,
yeah,
that ball got caught.
I know.
I've never seen like he made a lot of bad throws to Edelman. He had these little checkdowns all day to James White.
Yeah,
and every once in a while he threw just one to Gronk to throw everybody off base. But when he threw the ball to Edelman, that man earned his paycheck. That man earned his paycheck. Those balls that he was. Not all of them were easy. Not all of them were easy.
I just think when you come up with a game plan with a guy that you know is going to check down.
Maybe that's why they play zone. They thought they could rally to the ball. I don't know what that was. I really don't know what that was. That was very uncharacteristic. That was incredibly uncharacteristic of that team for the season that they put together.
Yeah, I mean, well, they always play zone, right? They always play zone. I mean, that's what Gus Bradley does. He thinks he has Earl Thomas back there still.
Well, Derwin James is.
Yeah, I mean, Derwin James is pretty close to Cam Chancellor as you're going to get. But he doesn't have. I mean, Casey Hayward is good, but he's not Richard Sherman. You just can't play that defense with everybody. I think we need to stop that. NFL, it's over. Seahawks run, it's over.
Hey,
NFL.
They won't. That's and we've talked about it before. These coaches, they have that mindset where it's like, I can do what I want. I got guys that can do what I want. It'll happen the way that I want it. I would love to see them adjust, and the elite teams do. The elite teams will adjust Belichick does.
To be honest,
every week.
As a defense, you should not have a coverage that you play.
Agreed. Completely.
There should not be a coverage. Like, we play cover three.
How
did the Seahawks even get away with playing cover three that much?
Because it was because of the pressure that they put on. Yeah. When you have a defensive front that can get pressure and that quarterback's got to make a decision right away,
yeah,
and then, you can get away with playing your coverage. But that is... The elite teams are the ones that have that defensive front that they can get away with that.
That's why Bruce Arians used to kill the Seahawks because he used to tear them up. He used to tear that cover.
And I don't get it because Arians loves to play. He loves that ball down the field.
Boy, that's how
and
he
it takes
get him.
And it takes time to get the ball down the field. I don't know how they had the protection hold up long enough.
Well, he does them like 10 step drops. He does them, and he had Chris Palmer had a Kansas.
But I don't get how that was the Cardinals are the team that's gonna keep the coverage.
And you know, Carson Palmer, he's gonna hold that ball. He's gonna wait. He doesn't care if he's gonna get hit, and he's gonna just.
It didn't make sense. I don't understand how that offensive line held long enough for that.
I don't know, but he used to tear up the Seahawks.
Well, offensive lines were not holding up this week. The Colts offensive line didn't hold up, and that's an elite offensive line.
Yeah.
The Chargers offensive line didn't hold up, and they played really well
all
season. The
Patriots offensive line held up, though. They dominated.
They did, but I don't want to say it's easy. It is helpful when a quarterback can hold the ball all day long and then just dump it off to a running back who's going to get 15 yards a pop.
Yeah,
that is more than helpful.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You usually don't throw the ball 44 times and run the ball 24 times.
They doubled the time of possession that the Chargers had.
They dominated them.
They completely dominated
just
them.
Just domination.
They were up 28 points at halftime. At halftime.
So I'm saying, like, I just don't want to see him in the Super Bowl again. I'm just tired of it. I'm done. I'm tired.
Well, you know what? Our saving grace, and let's just transition right into it, was the Saints, man. Good yeah. Lord. They gave us a little bit of a heart attack.
Yeah.
But they figured it out. They got it together. They got it together.
I was happy, man, because I'm tired of these sports writers and these radio hosts just hyping up Nick Foles.
Oh, my God. Marcus, I was so frustrated watching that game.
I'm tired of it.
He would look left, and he stayed left. And then on the next play, he'd look right, and then he stayed right. This man does not know how to look off a defense. And they still had success. And they still had success throwing the football. It drove me nuts. It drove me absolutely insane.
They got a good scheme, though.
Well, Doug Peterson knows what he's doing.
And for some reason, when Nick Foles plays, Doug Peterson features Alshon. And when Wentz plays, he features Ertz.
Aguilar.
He features Ertz, not even Aguilar.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, because he can run a full spectrum of, like, when the reason the tight ends are successful in the NFL is because you got a quarterback that can look from left to right. And you have the tight end splitting the defense in the middle, and they got to spread out and play both sidelines when the quarterback can look one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
When Foles is one-sided, it completely eliminates the tight end from being effective in the middle of the field. Now the tight end is somebody who's playing on one half of the field, and you can account for him.
Yeah.
That's why Ertz is successful with Wentz, because that's an entire field read. You got to play sideline to sideline on a defense.
Yeah.
It doesn't work when Foles is in the game. That's half a field. It's half a field.
Yeah, you got to get a point with that. You got a point with that. I also think Wentz forces it to Ertz sometimes. He does. That's his boy.
Yeah, but when Ertz can force the ball, Wentz can force the ball to Ertz.
Yeah.
Foles is going to float it.
He can't, has some ugly floaters.
He can't force the ball into the middle of the field.
Like that out route to Jordan Matthews, man. I was just thinking, man, if Carson Wentz was in there, he would just would have zipped that right into him. Even if the corner like even had a little chance to get his hand on it, I still think it would have been a nice little zip. This dude tries to float it into an area and lead him to more of like a corner route because he can't he can't throw it that far on a line without it getting intercepted.
I'll tell you what, though. He worked himself into a contract next season.
I know, man.
He definitely did. There's a lot of teams that want a quarterback next year. Nick Foles is going to start for one of them, and that makes life easier for anybody else who is playing against those teams. Because he's not going to get the same type of offensive scheme that he got in Philadelphia. He is,
and he said he's looking for a good fit. I don't know what he's going
to do. I don't know who's got a fit for that.
Matt Nagy? Is he going to go compete with Rich Trubisky?
I'll tell you what, that's the best backup situation for them because the way that Trubisky runs around out there, he can get himself hurt. He could very well get himself hurt.
Yeah.
And Foles could have the same success in Chicago.
That's true. That's what I was thinking.
That's not a bad call over there, but he's going to get a starting job somewhere. He's going to fall himself into a starting job.
Where,
though? It doesn't matter where he goes. He's not going to have the same kind of he's not going to have the same offense that they're going to run.
I mean, there's only really one open quarterback job right now is the Jags. Let's be real. I mean, there's a lot of speculation between the other ones. Giants, they're probably still going to go Eli. I'm not even going to try to speculate about that.
Ooh, can I give you some speculation?
What's that?
So we just recapped everything for what the weekend was.
Kind of. We didn't get Drew Brees a little bit. We didn't talk about Drew Brees.
Do we need to? He's the man. He's the man.
Do we need to talk about
it? He doesn't need us to break him down. The man did it himself. He doesn't need us. We'll see him next week.
Yeah.
We can preview him.
Yeah.
I'm going to transition into this right here. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
You ready for it?
I'm ready.
The Giants' job is open.
It's not, Chris.
It's open. You know who it's open for?
Who?
They're gonna give up some draft picks. And they're going to trade them to the Cardinals. Because the Cardinals are going to draft Murray, and they're going to get Rosen in New York.
That is a possibility. I agree with that. That's a possibility.
And that could not be
and Steve Kimes a terrible
any
GM. So
any better of a situation for Rosen to come into New York and to throw to Odell Beckham, and it's not even up to him because he can just turn around and give it to Barkley.
Yeah,
that is the prime place for Josh Rosen to go. I'm rooting for this more than anything else.
Yeah, for Josh's sake, right?
I want Oh, for his sake, for sure. Because he is not running the air raid in Arizona.
See, I don't think Arizona's going to even run the air raid.
I'm sorry.
I think Kingsbury. I don't think he knows anything else.
I don't think he knows anything else. With that. They can't even get a coordinator to come in there. Sarkisian said no.
I think they got the flip-off interview, but they didn't hire him.
No, because that guy, he was interviewing for a head coaching job while he was in Minnesota, and he got fired for it.
But they were trying to get him in there to hire him, because they hired Vance Joseph.
To be the DC.
And they hired a good running back coach, I know that.
Well, they won't use him.
I mean,
not with that air raid.
Because if he wants to run his four wide receivers, I mean, he could just put David Johnson out there.
I don't know what they're going to do. I think this was the worst hire of any hire in this offseason. I mean, Steve Wilks was a better hire last year, projecting for the season. This is such a detrimental hire that they're going to trade Rosen to the Giants. They'll get a second round pick for sure. I think that they'll sneak a first round pick out of it.
Yeah, and
I think they'll maybe next year's first round pick. They'll get this year's second round and next year's first for Rosen.
Yeah.
And they'll go get Kyler Murray.
Because I don't think Cardinals fans understand how bad this team is and how far they are away from winning.
There's nothing going on. You have David Johnson behind a nothing offensive line.
With two tackles you drafted and one you picked up in free agency that are bad now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them you drafted.
You got a receiver who is phenomenal, but he's got 1 year left.
If that.
And he's not going to teach Kirk, because Kirk plays a completely different type of wide receiver than Fitz did.
And Rosen played pretty good when Kirk was in there. I mean, he didn't play
when he was in his position, but they didn't even line him up as what his actual fit was.
As a slot.
Yes. The best thing that the Cardinals could do in this draft is trade back, keep Rosen, draft N'Keal Harry.
No, you can't trade back. You're number one. You don't trade out of number one. That's
so what are they going to do? They're going to pick Bosa?
I think trading out number one is dumb.
So they're going to pick Bosa.
I think they're going to take Jonah Williams. This is my wild card. Take the tackle one, right? He's the best tackle in the draft. You're trying to build offense. He's the best tackle in the draft.
I think you there's too much that they need. You got to trade out of one. They need too many things.
Man,
you can get two first-round picks. You gotta take one. No,
you don't have to take one.
You don't have to take one.
You gotta take the best play. I don't believe it. I don't believe in a bad team like the Cardinals cannot get out of the.
You can drop back into later into the top 10. You can get another first round pick out of it. Mm-hmm. You draft a guy like N'Keal Harry to play opposite of Fitz, and you let Fitz teach him this season. Then you can put Kirk in the spot where he's supposed to be, which is in the slot. And you don't run the stupid air raid offense. You run a three wide receiver, one single back offense. And you give David Johnson the football 20 times a game. Yeah. Hand the ball to him. And you let these other guys learn. And that way Rosen doesn't have the pressure all over him. You take a little pressure off of the offensive line. They can get back to fundamentals. You can pick up a tackle later in the damn draft. You could still get the best left tackle in the top 10 of the first round, and you've traded back for him, and you can get Harry at the same time. I don't believe in that. I don't.
They're too bad. You got to take the best guy.
They are too bad. That's why there's
a whole bunch of guys on your draft board.
You go for the top 20 guys. You take two of the top 20 guys, and you plug them in.
That's why the Browns, the last thing they traded out was the Browns, and that they sucked for they won a game after they traded out our first number.
That's not on the team.
I don't care.
That's not on the team. That was on the coaching.
They won a game, Chris. They traded out a number one pick and they won a game for the next 2 years.
You can get an offensive lineman, N'Keal Harry, in the first round this year. Go three wide. One, you put David Johnson in the backfield and you give him the ball 20 times a game, and you can have success in that offense, and Rosen can play out of the pocket. It would be successful.
All right. Okay.
We'll stress about this later.
Yeah, we'll stress about this later.
We got a long way to go.
Yeah, let's preview these games.
Well, no, because let's get to. I want a Murray conversation.
You
I want a Murray conversation. Okay. Because that's where we went to with this one.
Okay.
Because what's going to happen is not what we just played out.
Okay.
What's going to happen is they'll trade Rosen to the Giants, and they'll draft Murray number one overall, and they're going to have a 5'9 quarterback in the NFL since Doug Flutie, and this poor kid is going to get killed. He's going to get killed.
I haven't watched him yet, so I'm not going to judge Kyler Murray based on whatever. I haven't watched him. I'm not going to do
it. I'm going to base him off of the projection of what's going to happen. They're going to throw the air raid into Arizona, and that's why they're going to draft Murray, because they have him running around like crazy back there. Because
he can run the offense.
He could run that offense. But the guy will not be able to see over his offensive linemen, who are literally a foot taller than him. So they will have to move him out of the pocket on every single play. On every single play.
And we don't know how tall he is.
He's 5'9", Marcus.
Is he 5'9"?
He's 5'9".
Is he?
He's 5'9".
I think he's 5'8".
And you think he's even shorter? So 5'9" is being generous.
Chris, he looks tiny.
I will say this, though. I will say this. In his defense,
yeah,
he played behind an offensive line in Oklahoma. Those are some big boys.
Yeah.
The difference is, at the college level, you can get away with your athletic ability. You cannot get away with your athletic ability in the NFL.
I mean, if you watch the Alabama game, because, you know, Alabama had a guy named Quinnen Williams,
mm-hmm.
who gets a lot of interior pressure.
Yeah, just a little.
And it forced him to struggle a little bit, because with the short guy, well, the problem with short guys is if you get interior pressure, they really can't see. Then all their vision is gone. So as soon as Quinnen Williams is coming and he's taller and it's gone.
Defensive tackles are all over 6 foot now.
But it's not about that, because if
I'm
if,
just saying these are time, big boys.
Because if he has time, he could, and he's been short his whole life. So he's had this problem.
Sure.
Yes, we gotta understand too.
Yeah.
He's had this problem since high school, right?
He played
Texas high school football. I'm sure he's all his linemen were 6 foot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's true. That's right? Very true.
So he probably knows how to find lanes. He's a lane finder, like Russell Wilson.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's what they do. They find lanes.
I'll never get over watching Drew Brees just with his chin up in the air. And he's peeking, and he's on his toes. But man, gosh, does he know what to do with that ball?
That's what we're talking about.
Does he know what to do with that ball?
People talk about being short's not a factor, but this dude's on his tippy toes trying to throw the football. Which is crazy that he's still accurate as hell off his tippy toes.
70% completion percentage.
That's nuts.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
That is nuts.
He's absolutely incredible.
But that's when people talk about height and like it doesn't matter. Like this dude throws from his tippy toes. So he's got me saying tippy toes in the podcast. So he's it's gonna be a problem. It is. People need to admit it, because he's probably been finding lanes his whole career. He's been finding lanes, but if he's getting pressured up the middle, he can't find his lane. So he's got to get out the pocket to have an open lane.
Which he's always done.
Yeah.
Which he's always done. He's always leaving the pocket.
Yeah. I wonder how fast he is, because he looks really fast.
Yeah, he does.
He's very elusive. So I think he might come to the NFL.
I don't think he's Lamar Jackson fast, though.
He might be.
You think he is?
I think he is.
I'm not saying that he's not fast. I just think Lamar Jackson is something special when he moves.
Because what I think is happening with him in the draft is that there aren't really any quarterbacks in this draft, right?
No.
That are projected with elite talent.
Okay? I completely agree with you.
Like, there's a lot of guys that I find that could be mid-tier guys. That could be on a good football team, could be a good enough leader and good enough point guard to get them where they need to be on a good football team if he has some good weapons and all that stuff, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks like that, but there is no quarterback that is, like, let's say,
The guy,
right?
Yeah.
So, since there's no quarterbacks like that is the guy, we got a quarterback that comes in who's just super talented. This kid has a cannon. He's athletic. He can run. And he won the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, okay, maybe he could go one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think
he's going to go one. I'm sorry. He's going one, Marcus. He's going one. I think so if too. He legitimately, yeah. I think this is all a show. Yeah. I still think it's a show.
Yeah.
I think he's playing baseball. I'm positive. I'm almost positive that he's doing this to get an extra $5 million out of the A's to make sure that he plays baseball. Because until he actually, because he declared, but until he signs with an agent, the man's playing baseball.
Yeah, because he has an agent. Scott Boras.
On the baseball side.
Yeah, but wouldn't he stay his agent?
He has to actually choose an agent. Isn't that how it works?
So that's weird. He's got to say that he already had an agent the whole time.
But on the baseball side. But on the baseball side. That's a baseball contract.
So how is he able to play NCAA football? Is Scott Boras is his? That makes this. I'm super confused now. So he couldn't play college baseball.
There's something going on here with what he did with the agent on the baseball side, and I think Boras the way that he I think Boras is playing. I mean Boras is smart. He's so smart.
I'm so confused. Okay, so you can't play college football with an agent.
No,
but Kyler Murray has had an agent a whole college football season.
But it's a baseball agent. Is Boras in the NFL? Does he have his NFL license?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't think Boras has a license in the NFL, and that's why this is okay because he's an agent, but he's not a football agent. If Boras was certified on the NFL side, then it wouldn't work out. But because he's only certified on the baseball side, I'm pretty sure that's where it is. I'm pretty sure that's where the technicality is. It's totally a loophole. And I bet you, watch this. If Murray's serious about football, mm-hmm. Boras will get it certified. He'll get his NFL certification. I bet you that happens.
The whole game.
It would completely change the whole game. I bet you that's what happens, though. He's sitting there. He's got the paperwork all filled out. And he's at his desk.
Yeah.
Click, click. I got the paperwork. Let me staple this. Let me ready to send it.
Maybe that's what they're doing.
Could be.
Maybe that's what they're doing behind the scenes.
Could be. They're waiting to see what the money's going to look like on the NFL side. And if it's comparable to what the A's will pay out.
But the baseball side of this, the MLB is really involved in this.
Did you see what they did?
Yeah.
They changed the rules to try and get him to stay in his contract in the Major League Baseball. They changed the rules for the negotiation that they can do.
Is he that good at baseball? Like, could we talk?
I don't know. Apparently.
He's a top 10 prospect, right? He got drafted the top 10.
Yeah, he got drafted. He was a first round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 9, I think.
Yeah. You're right. He was the number 9 overall pick. And they changed the negotiation. They changed the rules.
You've been following baseball a lot. More lately than me. I'm a 90s baseball guy.
So sure.
90s, early 2000s. Sure. Once the Orioles started sucking, I kind of left. So, what is the hit rate on a first round MLB prospect?
It's not big. 10? It's not big at all. It's not big at all. You know who the guy, the last two guys that I know for sure left a chance at a football career for a baseball career were Joe Mauer and Matt Holliday.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about their football prospects?
No, I know Joe Mauer was the player of the year in Minnesota, same year Larry Fitzgerald played high school.
I know nothing about their potential football careers. Zero.
I think Joe Mauer actually could have been a first-round quarterback. That was his projection. But he decided to go play baseball because that's what I'm saying. Because like Larry Fitzgerald talks about how good of a quarterback he was.
Really?
Yeah, because he's supposed to go to Florida State.
I have no idea.
And he had a Florida State
scholarship.
I remember this because that's what I'm saying. I used to be in baseball, so he had a Florida State scholarship, and he was supposed to go to Florida State. He was like, I think he was even like Gatorade National Player of the Year and stuff like that in football.
No kidding.
And he chose baseball instead.
Yeah, well, he's got his number retired now in baseball. Well,
I mean, of course, really, because I think with those guys, it's more about what they actually want, love, right?
Sure.
Because Mahomes, who knows how good that? Obviously, we're watching him play shortstop.
That was a baseball throw to Kelsey.
He might be Omar Fizgell with power. We don't even know.
I don't even know. Like I want to put a football in my hand and make that type of throw. I haven't done anything like that in years. I don't even know how that would feel. I don't even know how that would feel. It's been years, Marcus.
That's what I'm saying.
I've never even tried something like that. That was at the hip.
That's what I'm saying. He plays.
That was with the wrist.
He's throwing it like it's a baseball.
He does. I don't know how you do that. I'm just sitting here thinking fundamentally how that plays out, and I can't. Like, I get it if he's doing it to the left, but that went to the right.
He's turning
how
two.
How do you
bro.
Do that?
He's turning two on a football field.
From the second base. From a second baseman position. That's not even a shortstop throw. That's a second baseman throw.
That's what I'm saying. So it has to be more about what you love. Because if you love baseball, because I don't think Kyler Murray wants to play baseball. I think he's a really, really good baseball player. But I think he's been hearing his whole life that he's not going to get a chance in the NFL. Because he's 5'9".
So he wants to prove somebody wrong.
And I think now that he's hearing that he's getting that chance, mm-hmm. it kind of changed everything. Mm-hmm. He played the whole year at Oklahoma.
Well, it's going to be really interesting.
Made that
high. It's
going
to be really interesting.
Yeah, dude. All right, man. We're already an hour in. I don't know how we're going to
preview. All right, so
we're going to preview
these games. So here's how we're going to preview these games.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen in the Patriots-Chiefs game. I am so flabbergasted. I don't know what's going to happen. If that defensive line in Kansas City does the same thing that they did against the Colts, it will not matter because Tom Terrific's going to check it down to James White for another 15 receptions.
I don't know what's going to happen in that game either.
And they don't have a guy in the middle of the field that can stop Gronk. And Gronk, all he did was run block.
They got to get pressure.
They'll get pressure.
Chiefs are a terrible run defense all year.
I don't know. They're gonna go into classic iPhone because it's gonna be cold, Marcus. It's gonna be really cold in Kansas City.
Mahomes got to play out of his mind.
I don't like what I saw out of Mahomes. In the grand scheme of everything, did he make some unbelievable throws?
Yeah.
Yes, but that defense won that football game.
See, he's got to play out of his mind.
I did not like seeing how much he was doing with that. He was squeezing.
Yeah.
He was choking that football. The throws that were coming out, he's been more wild with the football in this last weekend than he was all season long. He missed a lot of spots.
Yeah.
That ball was really wobbly. I don't think he can get away with that again this week.
He probably can't, but that's what I'm saying.
But again,
he's got to play out of his mind.
Again, everything that I've thought was going to happen with Mahomes hasn't come to fruition.
He's gonna have to rise to the occasion, and he's gonna have to rise to the spotlight, and he's gonna have to outplay Tom.
I'm not calling that game. You are not gonna get me to decide one way or the other. It's
okay.
Not happening.
I mean, we could preview the other game. I think the other game is gonna be a blowout. That's just how I feel.
I completely agree.
I feel like the Rams is gonna get blown out.
We said the same thing last week too. And I think that the way that the Eagles came out and punched the Saints in the mouth really made it even worse for the Rams this week. Really just made it worse because they're really going to fine tune in that game. And I completely agree with you. Drew Brees, who is my MVP this season.
Yeah. Which I think you're crazy, but we could have that conversation next week.
We can have that conversation. Drew Brees he's going to have a game. That defense is going to play much better. And the way that Goff did not handle pressure well and did not throw well off a platform and only looked good when he could drive the ball, he could step into his throws, I don't think he's going to get the chance to. When they were down 14 and all the momentum was on the side of the Eagles, that stadium was so loud. Goff's not going to know what to do in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, especially if the Saints start fast. They go up like 14.
I think they're
going
to start fast this week because they came out. They got punched in the face last weekend. That's not happening
that,
2 weeks
that,
in a
that
while.
That game's either going to be 34-31 Saints or it's going to be 45-14 Saints. That's how I feel like it is. I just feel like it's that Rams defense is not that good. They're not.
And I think that they'll get to the run.
Yeah, and they're
going to better than
they're going to pick on Marcus Peters again.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing this week. I don't know. Maybe Wade Phillips.
Thomas had over 170 yards.
Despite this last game, yeah.
Against a defense that was really whooping up on him, and he still had 170 yards.
Unless they put Tlaib on him, I think Tlaib could slow him down a little bit because Tlaib's physical.
That's fine. Then we're going to see a lot of Ingram Kamara. It's going to be Ingram Kamara all day long.
But if they do, just leave it
on both sides. They're gonna, Thomas is gonna tear them up. They have to put Talib on Thomas.
I don't think the Saints start like they did this last week. That's done. We talked about it last week. It's done.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not gonna. Zero comment. Zip. I'm zipping the lip. I'm not talking about nothing with that next game, Marcus. I don't know what's gonna happen. I do not know what. I'll tell you what's gonna happen. It's gonna be cold.
I don't want to pick against Tom Brady no more after watching the Chargers. Like, I just feel like, and then you hear him after the game.
Yeah, and then he's trying to take the under. He's trying to play it like he's an underdog.
Shut up. You. Oh, everybody thinks we suck, and I get it. You won 11 games, bro. You won a division. Like, shut up. I'm saying he's motivating himself. He's having Giselle tell him he sucks every day. He probably say, "Babe, for the next week for the playoffs,
tell me how bad I am."
Don't tell me good morning. Yeah. Tell me how bad my passes were this week.
Yeah. Tell me how bad I rolled over on the bed.
Read me press clippings, please.
You really looked awful rolling over your left in bed this morning. Ugh.
This dude, we sucked. I'm like, man. Tom, nobody thinks you guys suck. Okay? We just watched the Chargers all year be the best team in the AFC. That's all we did.
Yep. And
you weren't the best team in the AFC year.
You dismantled them.
Sorry, we didn't think you were the best team in the AFC year. Maybe he's mad at Rob Parker because that dude from Fox Sports, because he made a power ranking and he put the Patriots as the worst team in the divisional playoff.
Ooh.
Maybe he's talking about that. I don't know what he's talking about, but nobody else talked about you suck, man. We just thought the Chargers were 12-4 and you guys were 11-5. That's all we thought.
I'm not calling it, Marcus. You're not putting my name on anything. I don't want nothing. All I know is I saw Mahomes wobble the ball last week. Yes. He squeezed it way too hard. That's all I know.
Yeah. All right, Chris. I think we're good. We're good now.
I think so, too.
Rock it out. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes.
Hit it.
Download on Spotify.
A little pocket awareness.
A little pocket awareness. Make you search that. Thank you for listening this week. And we appreciate you guys, but yeah, it's going to be a great championship weekend. I'm headed to the Senior Bowl actually this Sunday, so
you're not even going to get the chance to break down the championship weekend, huh?
Well,
you got your eyes fixed on some prospects, huh?
Yeah, Sunday I know I'm going to be watching the games. I don't know what we're going to do, how early I'm going to get there, but I'll probably definitely be watching on the airplane and watching it on my way out of the terminal, and obviously watching the game on the way, you know, to my hotel.
So you
and
can expect
when I get to the hotel, I'm going to turn the game on the TV.
They can expect a breakdown, and then we're really going to dive. We're going to start getting into those future quarterbacks.
Yeah, and then you're going to hear about my disgust. So
yeah, well, I'm not excited. Marcus, so far from what we've broken down and what we've seen in the college football season, we're not liking what we see this year with quarterbacks.
Not at all. Uh-uh. All right. Well, okay, we'll see you guys not next week because I'm being the Senior Bowl. But
yeah, so maybe next week, Friday. Maybe we'll hit you guys. We'll get you guys some time next week.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Give you a little Senior Bowl review and all that stuff. So, yeah. All right, guys, check us out. Peace.